Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast from the First Christian Church in Great Bend, Kansas. We are a church with a mission of inspiring ordinary people to live extraordinary lives for Christ. It really doesn't matter who you are, what you have done, or how you choose to worship. You belong here. We pray that this week's sermon blesses you and that you feel God's presence through it today.
So today we are in week two of our sermon series on doubt, where basically what we're doing is instead of continuing to beat around the bush when it comes to some of those doubts and questions that we've all faced at one time or another in life, is we're jumping in head first to not only see if we can get some answers regarding some of these doubts that we have, but also to continue to learn how doubt, when used in the right way, is actually a tool that can help us to go deeper in our faith. And so last week, and to set the foundation for the series, after we got into how doubt is not a sign that we are sinning or doing something wrong, but instead actually a normal and natural part of life, to help expand your minds a bit, I then walked you through my experience of learning to embrace instead of deny my doubts, and how that has led me not away from God, even though it's never been easy, but to a place of deeper faith and spiritual maturity. Because the truth is, when it comes to your faith, if you've never asked any questions or struggled with any doubts, then that means not only have you just accepted what others have taught you without wrestling with it and making it your own, but it also means that you're stuck right where you are. Because a big part of what it looks like to go deeper in your faith, no matter what you have been taught, is to question and doubt what you've been taught, and all to see if you might just have gotten something wrong, or to see how much you've actually been missing, with the goal ultimately being not to walk away from your faith, right? This is not meant to be a detriment to your faith, but to help you instead continue to grow and mature in your faith. Ultimately, my goal is for all of you to develop the kind of faith that can withstand or face anything that this life has to throw at you. And the only way you do that is not by staying where you are, but to continue to wrestle and question and go deeper in your faith. But now that we have set that as our foundation, the big doubt that we're going to be wrestling with this morning, which I know everyone has faced to a certain degree at some time or another, is the question, and it's a big one, does God really exist? Does God exist? Or are we just fooling ourselves because, as many people have tried to argue, all of this is just something that happened as a freak accident and there really is no God? Or you and I sitting here today, me, I'm the biggest one here, right? If there is no God, I have given my life to something that doesn't exist. Right? And you guys showing up here today, it's kind of a big question which you have to answer. So my experience is this. The foundational reason, or the reason that I've found behind all the other reasons that people struggle with this question over and over again, is for the most part based on how we as human beings are not able to experience God in the same way we can experience almost everything else. In that, it's really easy to know that something like a tree exists because we're able to see, touch, taste, hear, and smell it. So to prove that a tree exists, all we've got to do is go to the tree and experience it, and we know it exists. And yet, when it comes to our encounters with God, because in one sense we're not able to experience God in the same way, I find that people start having doubts because they're not able to experience or prove God in the same way that you can a tree. Or maybe to see how this is true, how many of you at some point in your life have longed and even prayed for God to show up in your life in a way that can't be denied? And what you meant by that is you wanted to encounter God through one of your five senses, like you would a tree, so you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God really exists. How many of you have ever longed for anything like this? Anybody? Yeah, I think the truth is we all have at one time or another. Well, what I would say in response to that particular problem is just because we're not able to encounter God in the same way you can material existence, that doesn't necessarily mean that God doesn't exist. It just means that God is one of those things in life that we encounter in other ways, or in ways different than the way we experience a tree. Or to try to put this into perspective for you guys, how many of you believe love exists? Anybody? Yeah, I think the truth is none of us have any problem believing in something like love, and all because at one time or another, we've all got to experience the power of love in our lives in very deep and meaningful ways. But here's the thing about love we don't oftentimes think about. Love is not something at the base level that we can experience in the same way that we experience a tree, but is something you only know is real based on how it affects you internally. or love is not something you can experience through the five senses, but it's something you can only experience in the deepest part of your beings. Or to see this, let's just say one of your friends comes to you and they say something ridiculous like, hey, I don't believe in love. And so what I want you to do is I want you to go about proving that to me. So how would you go about trying to prove logically or scientifically how love exists in a way that can't be denied? Right? It's something we don't oftentimes think about. And this is not just love. It's any kind of emotion, anything that is going on inside of us. How do you prove that that actually exists? Well, to save you guys some brain power on that, as far as I know, even though love is something we all take for granted is real, it's not something that can be proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. And yet, how many of you, even though you're not able to prove the existence of love, could stop believing that love is something that actually exists? Well, I think the same thing is true when it comes to our experience of God. In that, for the most part, if you're looking to prove the existence of God like you would prove the existence of a tree, it's just not going to happen. Because that's not how God seems to work in our lives. No, if you want to know and experience that God really does exist, then what that looks like, at least most of the time, is thinking about God in the same way we think about love. In that it's this internal experience that is really hard to explain and even harder to prove, but nonetheless is something that is so real and so powerful in our lives that even if we wanted to deny it, we couldn't deny it. Or listen, people. For at least the last 20 years of my life, I have been consumed with this question, does God exist? Doing everything in my power to prove that God exists beyond a shadow of a doubt. Because I don't know about you guys, but I want everything to be nailed down. Anyone else want it all to be nailed down and all figured out, right? We all long for that. So to do that, I've spent countless hours reading everything I can get my hands on from a theological, a philosophical, and even a scientific perspective, along with having conversations with all the brightest people that I know. And the truth is, with the evidence and information that we have at this point as humans, it really isn't possible to prove the existence of God like we can a tree. And yet, even though that's true, I still believe not just in any God, but in the God that has been revealed to us in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And the reason I believe that is because my experience with God on the inside of me, or how every single day, whether I like it or not, how many of you would like for God to leave you alone on occasion? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Right? You're supposed to, no, just leave me alone. Whether I like it or not, there is this presence that is within me and around me at all times that is just as real as the love that I have for my children. Or that is part of why I believe God exists. But now that you guys are getting your brains wrapped around all of that, what I want to show you now is that even though we're not able to prove God's existence beyond a shadow of a doubt, that doesn't mean that there's not all kinds of evidence out there in the world that point to the fact that there has to be some kind of amazing, brilliant, big, and loving being behind all of this. Because the truth is, even though God's existence can't be proved, neither has anyone come up with an argument, either logically or scientifically, that proves that God doesn't exist either. So where that leaves us when it comes to this important question is that all any of us can ever do is look at the evidence and then based on that evidence, choose whether we believe God exists or not. Because no matter how you choose to answer this question, it's going to take a leap of faith. And that means even for people who are atheists and believe that they've got all the evidence and all that kind of stuff, the truth is they don't. So in the same way, we have to take a leap of faith to say, no, we believe in God. They have to do the same thing. We're on the same ground there. So for me, one of the reasons, the main reasons, for why I choose to believe in God outside of my personal experience, of course, is because when I look around at this world that we live in, what I see is not a bunch of randomness and chaos, which is what you would expect in a world where things just kind of happen randomly and there is no God. But a world that is so ordered and complex in almost every way that it appears to have been designed by a brilliant designer. And so for me, the best way to make sense of all the complexity and order is not to say that all of this just randomly happened and we got lucky. No, what makes the most sense to me is there has to be this big, brilliant, and loving being behind all of this. Or maybe to catch a glimpse of this, let me share with you a modern version of William Paley's famous argument from design, which goes like this. So what you got to do is I want you to imagine that you're walking across an open field and you accidentally kick a rock. Now, if someone asked you how that rock got there, Your answer to that question might be something like, for all I know, it's been there forever. And the truth is, that argument could work, right? That could be a logical reason for why that rock is there in the first place. But now what I want you to do is I want you to imagine walking across that same field, and this time, instead of just kicking a rock, you happen upon a watch that's just lying there in the dirt. And now this time, if someone asked you how that watch ended up there, you couldn't just say, oh, well, it's been there forever. And all because something as technical and organized as a watch is not just something that happens, but something that clearly has been designed for a particular purpose. Well, if we take that same logic and reason and use that to try to make sense of and explain something like the complexity of all life on this planet, given that any kind of life on this planet is way more complicated than a watch, then for me, again, it really doesn't make that much sense to argue that all of this just happened, or we just happen to live in the part of the universe where the complexity of life just sprang up as a random accident. No, what makes sense to me is, just like when you find a watch in a field, you assume there has to be a designer. The same goes when I look out on all the complexity and design of life. That means there's got to be something else there. Or for me, the most logical answer for why life exists at all is there's got to be an all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving God who in the beginning designed, created, and set all of this into motion. That's what makes the most sense to me, which, by the way, is the same kind of logic that Paul uses in Romans 1:20 to make the same point. He says this: for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. And I read that to you again because I really want you to get this. For since the creation of the world, since the beginning, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. And what Paul is clearly getting at is that even though we're not able to encounter and experience God like we would a tree because of his invisible qualities, what we can do by examining and learning about this amazing universe we inhabit is through all the things that God has created, we're able to catch a glimpse of God's power and divine nature. Or by looking into and studying how everything in this life seems to work, like how our universe is set in such precise ways when it comes to the constants and qualities of the universe for any of this to exist, and how a tree takes root and then begins to grow through all these chemical and physical reactions, begins to grow and develop. It's just absolutely amazing. That's where we're able to catch a glimpse of just how big, brilliant, and amazing our God really is. Or for me, I have these two little creatures at home, right? One is 8 now and the other is 14. And the truth is, there's a lot of stuff that I have to do as a father, but they've got this programming inside them that helps them grow and develop over time that I really have nothing to do with, right? And I see, especially with the younger one, right? So at one point, she's not able to understand some concepts, and then all of a sudden, it's like her brain switches on. It's programmed at this time in life to actually begin to get that. So where does that come from? How does that happen? Well, for me, that's the kind of things that point beyond itself to a God who is so big and so amazing that we don't even have a clue. Or maybe to think about this in another way, in the same way when we read words on a page that help us to learn and see all sorts of things that aren't contained in the book, right? You can read about anything from a book. According to Paul, all of creation, or everything that God created, acts like a kind of book that we're able to read to help us learn even more and even experience the one who created all of this. Or to help you guys see how this works, in a conversation I once had with my Uncle Dick about his work as a lab scientist and a college professor at the University of Oklahoma, boomer, what struck me as we spent some time talking about science and religion, and he was a very faithful man, is that one of the main reasons he gave his life to doing the tedious work of testing drugs on lab rats as an immunologist, so he was a doctor in immunology, the study of your immune system, was not just about how he was able to possibly help millions of people through the development of particular drugs, although he did go on and do some of that. Some of the medication you take today he worked on, by the way, which is fascinating. But it also had to do with the awe and wonder that he continued to counter as he learned about and discovered how our immune system functions at the molecular level. Because for him, what he was able to witness at the smallest, most detailed levels was not just how amazing the human body was in general, but how even at the microscopic levels, there's all sorts of evidence that points beyond itself to a designer. In the smallest places in life, my uncle was able to see and in a sense read through the way this system, this immune system worked, that this is not just something that happened by chance, but something that clearly in his mind, had to be designed and created, because for him, all the complexity and order that was there, like finding a watch in the field, pointed beyond itself to the one who created all of this. Or maybe for you guys to experience something like this in a similar way, what I would tell you to do is, at the most basic level, take a moment and study a cell. Right? I don't care what cell it is. Cells are the building block of all life on this planet. And they seem simple. They seem basic, like they're not that big a deal. But when you get into what's going on in that little cell, which is one of a trillion that make up your body, what you're going to find there is complexity and order that rivals that of a car engine, and maybe even more than that. So you mean to tell me that these little things just happen? This life just spurred into existence and started working in this way? No. For me, when you begin to look at these things, that's why I love science. Science points beyond itself to something much bigger. What you're going to find is beauty and complexity and wonder. You're going to find that God is revealing himself through all the things that he has made. Come on now. I mean, how amazing is it? If you guys would just take a moment in the day, no matter what you're doing, and just think about how amazing your life is in the first place, right? How in the world do you think? Did you have anything to do with that? Now, you're the one who fills it up, but do you have that capacity to do that? How do you walk? What about your heart? Did you guys make your heart? Right? Your legs? All of that stuff. There, just in every single moment of the day, if you'll take a moment and think about those things, you begin to see that it reveals just how big and amazing God is, at least in my humble opinion. So, now that you got all that stuff running around up there in your brains, what I hope you're starting to see when it comes to the question, does God exist? Is that even though we might not be able to prove the existence of God beyond a shadow of a doubt using reason and logic, what we can do, which I think will provide you with more than enough reason or more than enough evidence for you to believe, is to continue to open ourselves up to experiencing God in the same way we experience the reality of love. Because that's how God seems to work. Along with giving ourselves to becoming avid readers and observers of this world that we live in, to see if we might just be able to catch a glimpse of God's invisible qualities crying out to us from everywhere as they point beyond themselves to the fact that there has to be something behind all of this. There has to be a God. Let us pray. Father, as we wrestle with this big question that I know all of us at one time or another have just kind of wrestled with or thought about, help us to see, O Lord, that just because we don't experience you in the same way we do material existence or trees, that doesn't mean you're not real. It just means you work in a different way. And help us to understand that the way you work in our lives is kind of like love in our lives. It's something on the inside, hard to explain, but something that we can't deny. And we all want more of that. And even more than that, Lord, help us to look out at your creation and how everything is ordered and put together in such a precise way, to begin to catch a glimpse of your invisible nature, your power and your glory in deeper ways. Or help us to understand, O Lord, not only do you exist, but you're a God who cares and a God who is with us and for us and bigger than anything we will ever face. Lord, we ask all of this in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon, and we hope you are able to join us next week. To learn more about FCC Great Bend, visit us online at firstchristianchurchgb.com. Again, that's firstchristianchurchgb.com. God bless, and have a great week.